built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Shall we pray? Our Father, we have heard wonderful things out of thy word. We praise you for revealing Christ by promise and shadow in these pages. Help us to understand these words for thy name's sake. Amen.
The New Testament lesson this morning is Hebrews 12, verses 22 through 25. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. Let us pray. Our Father, we have heard wonderful things out of thy word. We praise you for revealing Christ as a fulfillment of the Old Testament and ask you to give us your spirit so that we may understand the fullness of your truth. Amen.
Well, congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we considered last week, the songs of ascent in the Psalms are all about the Israelites' pilgrimage to Jerusalem for those big three feast celebrations of the Lord. And they sung Psalms 120 through 134 as they journeyed to the city, and especially to the temple, the house of the Lord within the city. Jerusalem, for the ancient Israelites, was the center of their life of worship. That's where the Lord's glory presence was, behind the veil of the Holy of Holies. Every sincere and faithful Jew looked forward to being in Jerusalem for those feasts at the temple to worship. And wherever they lived throughout the countryside of the nation of Israel, their affections were oriented toward Jerusalem. It was the pilgrims' joy to go and to worship there. Jerusalem was praised in their hearts and with their lips because it represented not only the presence of the Lord among them, but it also represented their unity as the tribes of the Lord. Jerusalem was also the focus of their prayers. They desired her to always be secure and that all her inhabitants would be at peace. And they resolved always to do that which tended to her well-being. Jerusalem was the longing. Jerusalem was the heartbeat of every Jew's life. But as you know, the temporal, earthly Jerusalem was ultimately only a type and a shadow of the heavenly Jerusalem. In the same way that the Israelites of old cherished Jerusalem and pilgrimaged to her to give thanks to the Lord, so too do we now cherish the new Jerusalem and make our pilgrim way to her. As we travel through this present evil age to the glorious age to come in heaven, we have a picture and a foretaste of the heavenly Jerusalem and its worship here on earth that is no longer found in the earthly Jerusalem. Now in the new covenant, it is found everywhere true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth, as Jesus said in John chapter 4. I'm referring to the church, the true and spiritual Israel of God in Jesus Christ. The church here on earth is the inbreaking of the heavenly new Jerusalem. So with that in mind, we can understand, loved ones, that the church here on earth is part of the new Jerusalem above. We belong to her above, and she is our mother, as Galatians 4:26 puts it. And so the church is both a people and a place. We're a pilgrim people all united to Jesus Christ together through faith alone by the wonderful power of the Holy Spirit. And we express our unity by joining the local church, and worshiping our triune God there with our brothers and sisters, our fellow pilgrims. We're also a picture here on earth of the place to which we're traveling as pilgrims, the heavenly Jerusalem above. And so in the same way that the Jews in ancient times viewed Jerusalem as the center of their lives, so too do we as Christians view the church and Christ as the center of our lives, or at least we ought to. We're traveling to heaven via the church. So Psalm 122 reminds us of the centrality and blessings of worship in church on Sunday during our entire pilgrimage to the heavenly New Jerusalem. And so let's study that truth from Psalm 122 through these 3 points this morning. First, the pilgrim's gladness. Second, the pilgrim's bond. And third, the pilgrim's prayer. And so let's go ahead and make a beginning by considering the pilgrim's gladness. Look with me at verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Last week in Psalm 121, our pilgrim embarked upon his journey to Jerusalem, and he surveyed the hazardous mountains that he had to ascend in order to reach the city for the Lord's feast day celebration. And he lifted his eyes to the hills, and he declared that the Lord was his keeper, who'd preserve him all the way up the mountain to Jerusalem. And so here now, in Psalm 122, our pilgrim has arrived at his longed-for destination, the city of Jerusalem itself. And the concerns over the trials, the concerns over the dangers of the journey are now past. He has made it, and he is glad. To be glad here means to rejoice. The specific joy in this occasion for the pilgrim was that of being in Jerusalem to worship during the feast of the Lord. And to give thanks to the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, where the Israelites are commanded to pilgrimage to Jerusalem for those three main feast celebrations, the Israelites are also commanded to rejoice before the Lord their God and to be altogether joyful. It's the same word used in our psalm that's before us today. And how could it not be a time of joy? The feast celebrations were all about remembering how the Lord has delivered and blessed his people mightily. Even as Psalm 92, verse 4 says, "For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy." This is the pilgrim's song. So the pilgrim here in Psalm 122 recounts how he was glad, how he rejoiced when he was asked by fellow sojourners to join them on their way to the temple, the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. He heard their invitation, and his heart soared with joy at the thought of going to worship the Lord there with them. And it's interesting, though, there to recognize that our pilgrim in this psalm is actually King David, as the inscription indicates. That David writes this psalm from a pilgrim perspective, it's unexpected because he lived in Jerusalem, didn't he? The city is not new to him, yet he writes from the perspective as if he had come to Jerusalem to worship on his first pilgrimage, full of joy, full of awe, full of wonder. It seems that he remembered why Jerusalem was so important. The house of the Lord is there. That's another way of saying that the Lord himself is there in Jerusalem. He recalled how he got to participate and gets to participate in the worship of the Lord at the temple along with all of his brethren. He counted it a privilege and a joy. That's how he was able to write this psalm with joy as if he was a first-time pilgrim. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go up to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Well, what about us today in the New Covenant, who are traveling through this age to the New Jerusalem in the age to come? How's your attitude toward coming to church and worshiping the Lord on the Lord's Day? Is it a delight? Are you glad to come to worship? Or is it an act of drudgery? Now, I'm not saying that the thought of worshiping on Sunday at church should always give you emotional goosebump tingles and electrifying hair raises on the back of your neck. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm getting at with this question is your attitude toward the church and worship on Sundays. Is it something that you gladly look forward to? Or is it something that you dread? Or have you simply become comfortably numb like Pink Floyd? I think that just about all of us can relate to dreading coming to church to worship sometimes, right? If we're being honest with ourselves, let me pull back the curtain a little bit, even as one of your pastors. I sometimes dread coming to church, sinfully so. I trust and I hope it's the same for you sometimes. Well, I don't want it to be the same for you, but I do find some odd comfort in knowing I'm not alone in that. But if you can't relate to that, and you never experience a lack of joy and gladness in coming to church for worship, well, you're amazing applesauce. Amazing, awesome applesauce. And you should probably come up here, maybe, and finish this sermon for me. Because none of us are worthy to be in your presence at that point. So what do you do when you feel that way, loved ones? How do you overcome an attitude of drudgery or numbness toward worship at church on Sunday? Well, first, ask God to forgive you for your sin of thinking too lowly of him and forgetting your main purpose in life, which is to glorify and enjoy him forever. And the way that we express that as the pilgrim people of God is together in worship, also in our lives too. And then remember that when we publicly assemble together as God's people, we're actually coming to the new Jerusalem in heaven and participating in the worship of our triune God that is taking place in glory right now. We're worshiping God along with all the angels and all of God's elect from all times and all places on the earth. As Hebrews 12:22 through 24 says, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant." You see, we journey through all the dangers, toils, and snares of the past week in this sad world, and we come on Sunday to the heavenly Jerusalem. We come and we participate in that festal gathering to worship our living God, the judge of all, through our new covenant mediator, Jesus Christ. This is what we're doing here every Lord's Day. This is why we're here. We're gathering to worship our Savior God along with the innumerable throng that's already in heaven. We unite our voices with them before the very throne of God. And so may God help us always to remember this as we gather even twice each Sunday to worship. And so may God help us to repent of our earthly mindedness when we come to church on Sunday with an attitude of drudgery or numbness. Thankfully, though, our God is patient with us, isn't he? And he doesn't cast us earthly-minded sinners away. Praise God for that. He's given us his Son, who came in pilgrimage to Jerusalem perfectly in our place. He traveled through this sad world ahead of us with all its sorrows and difficulties that tempt one to not want to be at church. And he did it gladly, as Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith," and here it is, who for the gladness that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was and is the perfect singer of Psalm 122 in our place. He was always glad when they said to him, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." And may the Lord restore to us the joy and gladness of his salvation, loved ones, when we come to worship him on his day, week in and week out. And so, loved ones, come to church boldly. Even when it feels like a drudgery, or when you can't seem to feel anything at all, come anyways, come boldly, confess your bad attitude, and exchange your drudgery and your numbness for the joy and gladness of the living God through the perfect mediation of your Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, not only does Psalm 122 and the Pilgrim's Gladness remind us of the blessing and centrality of worship in the church during our journey to heaven, we're also reminded of the same thing through the Pilgrim's Bond, which is our second point this morning. Look with me at verses 3 through 5. Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as which it was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Well, after having arrived within the gates of Jerusalem, David now here surveys the city's design and layout. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. And the words bound firmly together here are the same Hebrew words related to construction used in Exodus 26, verse 11, for the building of the tabernacle tent as a whole unit. There it says, couple the tent together that it may be a single whole. The pilgrim sees how Jerusalem's buildings and walls are all bound together as a seamless whole. Wall joined to wall and house joined to house. And he continues surveying the city, and he sees all her pilgrims also united together as a whole, who've come up to Jerusalem from all over the nation's countryside and from all the diverse tribes of the Lord. Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. So David takes in the grandeur of the construction of Jerusalem after the long journey. His steps have been arrested, and he is standing there while his heart swells with a deep sense of belonging to such a wonderfully unified place and people. And so the pilgrim relishes in the bond of unity found within the city structures itself, and also in the overall unity of all the other pilgrims in the city who've come up from all over the nation of Israel and from all the various tribes of the Lord. As Psalm 133, verse 1 says, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's a beautiful thing to see. And so this is a beautiful moment in the life of a Jew arriving at his cherished city of Jerusalem to worship and to give thanks to the name of the Lord. It is a blessing for him to actively participate in the worship and thanksgiving of the Lord in the unified city of Jerusalem. And in the New Covenant, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, teaches about the same unity of God's people, doesn't he, in the Old Covenant? However, he uses a different analogy, an analogy that gets at the same concept. He does so in 1 Corinthians 12. He speaks there of God's people as a united whole through the analogy of the human body. He says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. There are many parts, yet one body. The church, with many individual members, is one united whole body. And joining a local congregation is an important visible expression of that unity. And the best and primary way to participate in the unity of the body of Christ, once you've joined it, is to attend its worship services. And here at Christ Reformed Church, you get to participate in two worship services every Sunday. As Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Loved ones, there is no other place but in the church on the Lord's Day, wherein God has assuredly promised to strengthen our faith through the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. It's crucial, absolutely crucial, for the health of your soul and for the well-being of your pilgrimage to worship at church on Sundays with all your fellow pilgrims, giving thanks to the living God, your Savior, whenever a worship service is called by the elders. It's a beautiful thing, loved ones. It's a beautiful thing to come to church and join in on the worship of God that's taking place in the heavenly Jerusalem. What a pilgrim bond of unity we have with one another in the body of Christ when we get to come together for worship on the Lord's Day. Cultivate that mentality, loved ones. And then in verse 5, David declares, "There thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David." You see, he knows that he's the Lord's appointed king who must judge and maintain justice and righteousness in the land. So pilgrims come to Jerusalem anticipating not only the blessings of their bonds of unity all together as the tribes of the Lord in worship, they also come looking forward to, they come looking and appreciating the rule of justice and righteousness by the Lord's King in Jerusalem, where all wrongs will be recompensed and put right. And of course, we know that these thrones of the house of David were a type and shadow of the messianic reign of Jesus Christ, who is the son of David, as a fulfillment of the Davidic covenant, as we find it in 2 Samuel 7. His rule is, and his rule ever will be, a righteous one, where on the last day all things in this world will be judged and recompensed as he sits on his eternal throne. Messiah's perfect life, his sacrificial death on the cross in our place for our sins, his resurrection, his ascension to the throne in heaven and return to judge the living and the dead are his saving work for us sinners who trust in him alone. And because of his work on our behalf, when we finish our pilgrimage and he receives us home to the heavenly Jerusalem on the last day, we'll give eternal praise to him for saving us from God's wrath, and will extol his just reign from upon his throne, a perfect judgment. And we'll cry out in worship forever, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." But if you're here this morning and you do not yet acknowledge and believe that Jesus Christ is King of all and the Savior of sinners like you, then his just judgment throne will only be a terror to you on the last day, because you will have died in your sins and you will receive the punishment for every one of your sins, and you'll receive that punishment in hell. As Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment." But thankfully, the good news for you today, thankfully, that day of judgment is not yet today. There is still time for you to confess your sins to God. You still have the opportunity to repent of your sins and to believe in Jesus Christ and ask God to forgive you of all your sins through Christ's work on the cross, through his blood, through his righteousness. And so repent and believe in Jesus Christ, and you'll be spared from his just judgment on the last day. And then join a local church that preaches the pure gospel and worship Christ your Savior as one of his pilgrim people. And when you finish your pilgrimage, you'll be received with joy and love into the heavenly Jerusalem, along with all the rest of God's elect pilgrims in his church who've trusted King Jesus for their salvation. Well, not only do the pilgrim's gladness and the pilgrim's bond of unity remind us of the blessings and centrality of worship in the church, so too does the pilgrim's prayer, which is our third and brief point this morning. Look with me at verses 6 through 9. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. You see, praying for the peace and security of Jerusalem and resolving to seek her good are the natural fruits flowing out of a pilgrim's heart who rightly understands the blessings of the Lord's grace and mercy toward him. So we're not praying for the peace of the earthly geopolitical Jerusalem that's now in turmoil. We're not dispensationalists. You see, the pilgrim here understands that God has placed him among his church and that all of God's people are his brothers and companions. He counts it a privilege and a blessing to worship and give thanks to the name of the Lord with them on the feast days. And so when we gather for worship together on Sundays, we're called to pray for the peace and security of the church so that she would be able to continue as a faithful picture of the heavenly Jerusalem above. So may we always pray this prayer every day of the week, too. When the church is at peace, when she is bound firmly together without internal divisions and strife, she is able to be the city on a hill whose light of the gospel cannot be hidden. And so may God continue to grant us here at Christ Reformed Church this peace and security within our gates. May God help each one of us to resolve in our hearts to seek to do whatever we can to contribute to the good of his church, that she might always be a beautiful city of peace. And so in conclusion, loved ones, God's church is a little pilgrim colony and city of heaven here on earth. By his grace, by his mercy, God has given us his Son to rescue us from the broad path that leads to destruction. By his grace, God has set our feet within the secure walls of his city of peace here on earth and has made us all brothers and sisters in Christ who are all together traveling through this veil of tears to the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem above. This is what we are. This is what we are doing. This is what God is doing. And so, pilgrim people, listen to this description of what awaits you there and what we get a foretaste now every Lord's Day together when we worship, as we hear from Revelation 21. The Apostle John, he said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give the spring of the water of life without payment.'" May this celestial city be our pilgrim gladness. May it be our pilgrim bond, and may it be our pilgrim prayer all the days of our earthly pilgrimage together until we at last arrive at her eternal gates. And so let us always look forward to that great day with swelling hearts of gratitude, saying, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.' Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Well, loved ones, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work of our elder brother and pilgrim, Jesus Christ, who has saved us from our sins through his blood and righteousness and his resurrection. And we thank you that by your grace you have reaped us into the New Jerusalem. We thank you that you have included us among your covenant people. And we pray that you would help us, O God, to love your church as we love you. Help us, O God, to worship you in spirit and truth. Help us, O God, to relish in the unity we have as pilgrims in your church. Help us, O God, to pray for her and to pray for one another. And God, may you be pleased to work those fruits in our hearts. And so, Lord, make it so in us that we would be glad when we heard it said to us, let us go to the house of the Lord. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.